Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
You know what I'm saying, Andy?
He's coming!
He's on his way!
Way,
brother.
This is so exciting.
And if Santa Claus is coming...
Yes, to town.
Who better to tell us that than the king, brother?
The king.
I mean, right?
Yes.
Oh, Santa Claus.
I don't listen to a lot of Elvis at Christmas.
Come on, dude.
Listen
get
to a lot
get
of,
with it.
A lot of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, the Muppets, love Jack Johnson, all his Christmas stuff.
Christmas
I don't listen
music.
To a lot of Elvis.
You've been
Elvis.
Doing Christmas music?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You've been doing it nonstop?
Of course, nonstop.
101.5, locally.
Yes.
Locally.
Yes, I like a.
I don't want our
jazz.
Listeners in Australia tuning into 101.5.
Exactly, I can't get it.
This is.
I'm sorry,
it.
I should have done an Australian accent. Well, come on, get it.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yes.
So I want. Well, first of all, two. Always forget. Two peas on a podcast.
Is that what we're doing here?
I think so.
Are we recording?
Episode 55, brother.
55.
I can't drive. 55.
You have a
but
beautiful
I can't.
Voice.
We're both going to drive.
You should record
today.
A Christmas album.
That was what was that? Here Comes Santa Claus by the King Elvis Presley.
The King.
Gerald is here.
Andy is across.
Andy
from
is here. Elvis is here. My robe is here. My robe. Am I coming out of my robe here? I feel like
your
my boob showing
coming
out of my robe.
Yeah, you're coming out.
Episode 55, Two Peas on a Podcast.
Okay.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yes.
This is Christmas week. Well,
we're in the midst of Hanukkah right now.
Last show we're doing before Christmas.
Christmas week.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a little input into
give it
my
to me.
Life.
Give it to me,
this
brother.
Is my favorite week of the year. My favorite day of
the
year
of
is not Christmas?
Christmas
Day. It's Christmas Eve. I like the anticipation.
Interesting.
Christmas Day itself is the big exhale. It's like, okay, I'm exhaling. It is here now and it's going to pass soon.
You still believe in
but
Santa?
But the week before Christmas is wonderful. Of course I believe in Santa
still
Claus.
Still believe in Santa?
Yes.
You got to believe, brother.
Yes. I believe in the
that
Santa Claus.
That fat bastard
Claus.
Started bringing me gifts 20 years ago.
I believe in the Santa Claus that transcends the story.
You're
I believe in what Santa Claus represents.
Did you hear what I said?
What?
It was disgraceful, but I said that fat bastard stopped bringing me gifts 20 years ago. But I still believe. I mean, what do I got to do here, brother?
Oh, okay. You want a gift?
I mean, kind of. I mean,
you
know, I want Santa to hook me
he
up.
He doesn't bring creepy people gifts.
Santa used to hook me up.
Yes.
There's doing
three... There's three columns. There's
right.
Nice, naughty, and creepy. Guess there's one name on the creepy list.
I was going to say,
guess
it's a short
there.
List, and I'm there,
exactly.
Brother. It's just me and all these creeps in Hollywood.
Exactly.
And I'm on the top.
Harvey Weinstein.
For some
Gerald
reason, I'm number
Morris.
One. I don't understand. Yeah. I feel like I shouldn't be number one, but
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so listen. Let's fucking pump the brakes a little bit
I'm
here, buddy.
Trying.
You're getting all excited. You said this is your favorite week of the year, which
it
I
is.
Understand.
It's very exciting. I got my holiday coffee cup.
You do. You're drinking out of a snowman face there.
Drinking.
Exactly. Which is a snowman head or whatever.
Drinking coffee out of
what
a snowman
what would you call that?
Face.
What am I doing? I'm doing Batman today. I got a Batman.
That's not Christmas.
That's not holiday at all. What? So the week of Christmas.
The week of Christmas.
We're off next week.
Yes.
Let everyone know. We're going to be off the week of Christmas, which is, Christmas is on like a Tuesday
yes.
or something? I don't even
Christmas
know.
Christmas is on Monday.
It's on Monday. Oh,
Christmas
sorry.
Eve is on Sunday. It's 1 week to Christmas.
So,
7 days.
Okay, that's right. So 1 week from today, from our recording date today.
Okay.
But we won't be on next week. We're going to have a bonus episode. I want to let everyone know real quick. It's going to be pretty fun. So we're going to do a top five hidden December gems.
What?
So we're going to do top five movies that take place around Christmas, but are not Christmas movies, per
fascinating.
Se.
Fascinating. Is Die Hard in there? Some people think
that's a little controversial. I haven't made my list yet. That's a little controversial because some people do say it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you think it's a Christmas movie? It's not a Christmas movie.
I have only seen it a couple times.
I mean, if the definition of Christmas movie, then Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
Yes.
However, I do watch it at Christmas time.
I don't think a Christmas movie is a movie that just takes place around Christmas. I think a Christmas movie is a movie that has Christmas as a part of its general theme.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
So, like, they're trying to find Santa or they're
helping
a hurt reindeer
have, like,
in the
woods.
Even
have those movies like Home Alone. It takes a place around Christmas, but it's about his family going off for the holidays and him, you know, having the home to himself at Christmas time.
And
so
then,
even
that
became
I thought it
a
was,
Christmas movie
and
for
then
me.
I thought it was a weird plot twist in Home Alone 2 when Trump grabbed his mom by the pussy. That was strange. I can't believe they threw that into the...
I don't remember that part. I'm never, ever going to watch that
no,
movie.
No, they had their finger on the pulse of political future, brother.
Interesting.
Trump had his finger on the pulse. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get into some topics here,
see,
brother.
See, that's why you're on the naughty list.
I don't have anything
the
else.
The creepy list. That's why you're not getting any presents, because you say things like
I don't
that.
Have anything else to say, really.
Santa's going to put a recorder in your stocking. He's going to press the play, and you're going to hear yourself
tell
saying
her,
that.
So we're off next week, but we're going to air the bonus episode. We're going to have our buddies Dan from Netflix and Swill. and Ashley, who you've met from the Rabbit Ears TV podcast.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be on, help us do that little fun top five. And then the week after, which will be episode 56, we will do our year in review. And we, Andy, and I don't know if you listened last year, folks, but we do a fun little, you know, our person of the year, our TV show of the year, our song of the year, our top news stories of the year.
Ooh, I got to do some research.
So we do, I'll send you the ballots or whatever you want to call it. And you can fill in your, well, you did it in your memory last year, which I thought was weird. I had like a page of notes and you're like, yeah, I'm ready.
Gerald thinks it's pretty amazing that I can remember things.
Yeah, I can't remember shit.
Like stuff.
I wouldn't even remember what year it was, let alone what the best thing in the year was. All right, so let's talk about The Last Jedi, brother.
Okay. Ah, yes.
So we're not going to give away any spoilers, just so everyone knows.
Okay.
This will be a spoiler-free reaction.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Good. Let's don't give away any plot spoilers.
Got it. Nothing plot related.
Just react to your level of satisfaction with the film. You go first.
Yes. I like the film more and more as I think about it. One of Gerald's friends said this to him, and I echo the sentiment. This is not the Star Wars movie you are prepared to see.
Right.
This movie is extremely messy from a plotline point of view. It's extremely dark, and a lot of dark things happen, a lot of messy things happen. I wasn't prepared for the different arcs, specifically Luke Skywalker's arc, but the more I reflect upon it, the more I think about it, the more I love it.
Yeah.
So although
you're going to see it again in the theater?
I'd like to, but I don't think I can because I have no life. I have too much of a life.
You got too much shit going on.
But it's not The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens is what I would call a fan movie.
Yeah.
Almost everyone loves it. You go into it, it's wonderful from beginning to end. You don't have to think too much about it. It's just great. This movie has a lot to digest, a lot to think about it. And like I said, I think, I'm going to put this out there for you, although it wasn't my favorite Star Wars film, I think I learned more about the Force from this film because it challenged me than I had previously.
But you're a big Force guy.
And that's what sells me on it. Like, I have friends, a really good friend of yours and mine, who didn't really care for the movie because of certain plot holes.
Yeah.
And that honestly doesn't bother me. But me, I want to know about the Force.
Well, my thing with the plot holes is, to that point.
So just get into your
There were feeling. A lot of plot holes. He's right. But my thing with the plot holes, why it doesn't really bother me, is because Star Wars is going to go on for fucking ever, bro. I mean, they could fill these plot holes. I mean, they put out a movie every year. I mean, whether it's a prequel or a new episode.
That's true.
Or a spinoff like Rogue One.
That's true. It's different now.
They could fill plot holes. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? They can go back and say, this is why this happened. Again, I don't want to give away any spoilers. But, you know, my thing is, I liked it, okay?
Yeah. It was a fun movie. I was entertained for two and a half hours.
If I was grading it on like an A to F scale, I would probably give it a C+.
That's what our friend gave it.
Whereas I would give Force Awakens like a B+.
Yeah.
Like, I really like Force Awakens, and I think those are the two that are the most comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rogue One, in my opinion, is the best Star Wars movie that's ever been put out in theaters.
Fun Andy fact, I didn't love Rogue One the first time I saw it.
Oh, I did.
But the second time I saw it, I loved it. But once again, I wasn't prepared for it because it's not a traditional Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with me in Last Jedi. I've never had such specific expectations for a movie before because Luke Skywalker's coming back, my hero.
Yeah.
So because my... And
you know what's interesting?
When are your specific expectations ever met?
You know what's interesting? You know? I think because we're tied up so much in it, we're such big, huge Star Wars fans, especially you. Like, my wife's she's just recently been introduced to the series,
what does
really.
She think about it?
She liked it, but, what's funny is she can, like, break it all down, and she just started... She's like, this is what's going to happen.
Well, your wife's also rather intelligent compared to...
Yeah, but she's like, we're waiting in line to see the movie, and she's like, well, this is The Last Jedi. This is what they're going to do. And then that's what happens. And I'm like, how the hell did you know that? Like, you don't even know anything about Star Wars.
She's wonderful.
But it's just interesting how, because you're so attached to it, you're like...
And that's the thing.
And they fuck with you. You know, they know what the fans want.
Yes.
I was going to tell you, I put it on my notes here. Okay. So we're talking about The Last Jedi. I was going to tell you, I think I may have sent you the article from Rotten Tomatoes, but 94% currently on Rotten Tomatoes by critics.
See, I'm pretty...
Now listen to this. There's a plot twist.
I'm surprised.
There's a plot twist. Hold on.
I'm surprised.
So 94% of critics have it at fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Only 53% of audiences approve.
You know why?
It's currently rotten.
I'll say it again.
In the audience.
I'm going to say it again.
Yes.
This is not a fan movie.
Yeah.
This is not a movie that's hand... Like, Force Awakens is a fan movie.
Yeah.
They have fan candy in their hands, and they are offering you the fan candy.
Well, I will tell you...
This is not a fan movie.
We'll move on, because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but like I said, C+, good movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little too long, in my opinion. It was a little drawn out, and there were some melodramatic moments where they were trying to be a little too artsy. I'm not going to say anything specific, because I don't want to... spoil it. Yeah. But aside from that, I thought it was a good flick. I love Star Wars, so obviously there was a lot of things in there like Kylo Ren, and I like Rey's arc so far.
Is that Adam Driver?
Yes.
Adam Driver.
Great actor.
Honestly, I think he does the best job in the movies. He is amazing. His portrayal of a conflict-ridden Kylo Ren is amazing. Every time he's on screen, Rey as well. Him and Rey have a very strong relationship in this movie. I mean, you can see it in the previews. That's not a spoiler. But I mean, every time they're on screen together, I love it.
Yeah, our buddy Todd that we did the bonus. Yeah. By the way, the bonus episode's up.
Yay!
So any Star Wars fans listening to this little mini review or whatever, we do have our top five Star Wars moments that Andy and I did with our buddy Todd from the Dork Side Productions. But, you know, like he said, Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey, I think Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver carrying that franchise right now. Just two great actors, right?
I'm going to put an aside out there to our top Star Wars moments. This movie might have a moment that crept in for me.
I think maybe. Definitely in the top 10. I know which one you're talking about.
This has a moment.
I know which one you're talking about. And it features both them, right?
Huh?
It features Rey and
No, Kylo. It's not that moment.
Oh, not that moment? Not that moment. Oh, that's the moment for me.
You'll
have to tell me off air what you're talking
about. I have a moment that crept in.
So if you're on the A to F scale, real quick, what's your grade for?
I'm gonna say B-.
B-. Okay, so you liked it a little bit better than I did.
That's for the whole film,
right?
As far as in comparison to other films, Star Wars universe, B-.
Yeah, I'd say, like I said, C+ for me, B+ for Force Awakens, probably an A for Rogue One and Empire
Force
Strikes
Awakens.
Back.
I do a strong A.
Yeah.
I say Rogue One. I'm not an A- for Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One was just fucking good.
It was good. It was really good. It was a great movie.
I mean, that scene with Vader alone. I mean, I mean, that 90 seconds. I mean, that's an A plus. You know what I mean? I just got a boner. Hang on a second. Adjust myself.
See, I'm telling you.
I had to adjust.
This is why you're not getting anything for Christmas.
And we're back. All right.
We need a week off.
Okay, a couple
week
topics.
Off your creepiness.
So that's our Last Jedi reaction there, guys. If you've seen it, if you have any comments about the movie, or if you want to give your letter grade to us, hit us up on our Facebook community there. And you can also go back and listen to the bonus episode that I talked about, our top five Star Wars moments.
Which is pre-Last Jedi.
Yeah, pre-Last Jedi. We released that last week if you want to check that out. All right, so listen, dude. So we do a podcast here.
We do?
You and I do. Now,
is that what we're doing? We record this?
Now, let me ask
you. Just told me to come over and talk to
you.
People listen to this.
Let me ask your opinion.
Okay.
Now, I know it's Gerald and Andy here. You know what I mean? Okay. I know you might be biased because you're one half of that duo. You're the Andy. I'm the Gerald. But what would I tell? What would you say if I told you that our competition?
Deep. You're so deep.
What would you say if I told you our competition was former President Barack Obama and Prince Harry, and they were doing a podcast together? You think we stand a chance there?
I don't know.
Who do you think who's listening to who? I know who's less creepy. I'll tell you that much.
I know. Well, I mean, I don't know. Prince Harry. Those Englishmen.
Let me tell you the story. This just happened yesterday.
This
just happened yesterday. So Prince Harry and former President Obama over in London recorded a podcast together for the BBC.
Crazy.
Harry conducted an interview with Obama. Kensington Palace announced in a tweet this morning that the interview will air on BBC Radio because Harry is acting as a guest editor the week of December 27th. He'll be having a variety of guests on, and Obama was his first
one. That is awesome.
The interview focuses on Prince Harry and the former president's shared interest in building platforms for the next generation of young leaders. The interview includes President Obama's memories of the last day in office and his hopes for his post-presidential life. By the way, he's winning in that category. He's living it up.
Yeah.
Jet skiing and I don't know, whatever, shopping in Paris and whatever the hell's the photos he's been
with. Jury duty.
So I want to hear this, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, these are two pop culture icons, brother.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They got together for this interview. So it's going to be on the BBC.
And what an odd pairing. You have a prince.
Yeah.
And then you have like a former president of the United States, different cultures, different views, you know, common language separated by an ocean.
But there's a there's a little kind of like meme or whatever that they have a bromance anyway, because when Michelle and Barack would go over there like once a year, they would just
have
a great time, and there'd be photos of them just dying laughing, and you know, I can't imagine the dad jokes that Obama was telling him, you know,
English kick it,
wearing his dad jeans over there to Kensington Palace and just doing it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sipping tea, brother.
Yeah.
All right, so it'll be on December 27th over on the BBC, which I assume it'll be available online.
BBC Radio. Well, it might BBC be available Radio. Online depending on what, depending a little, on your service provider.
A little foreshadowing for our one deep topic, but hopefully it'll be available online. All right, so I'm a Carolina Panthers fan.
Are you?
As you know, what's your sorry about the Cowboys this year, brother. You want a moment of silence?
Now here, let me
look. I didn't mean to get. I'm not trying to be funny.
Let me put it out there. We've had a rough year. Dak Prescott's second year. Ezekiel Elliott out for six games. Our best defensive player Lee got hurt for a couple games. Started out slow. Check it out. Boom. 8-6.
think you're getting to the playoffs? Don't say it, dude.
8-6.
I could show you the skit, dude.
8-6.
Like 40 things have to happen for y'all
if
to make the playoffs.
If we win every game.
Yeah, and what
and
else?
And if the other guys lose every game.
Yeah, as in every team in the NFL, then yeah.
Not every team, just...
Dude, you need Seattle to lose 2 games. You need Atlanta to lose 2 games. Exactly. You guys have to win every game, which I think you won yesterday.
Yes. Beat the Raiders.
Let's just say it's a slim chance, brother.
Yes.
And if you do get in, you will have Zeke back, so that'd be good.
I'm just saying that the Carolina Panthers have pretty much tied up the wild card.
Well, not necessarily. It's like a 3-way tie in the NFC South. The Falcons play tonight.
Interesting.
We were recording. The Falcons haven't played yet.
Okay.
Now, if the Falcons lose tonight, we have a great shot because we played the Falcons in the last week of the season.
Interesting.
Now, I think the Saints won yesterday, too, so whatever.
It hasn't been a great
Dallas
Cowboys season.
We're 10-4. I think we're 10-4 right now. Okay, so the reason I bring up the Carolina Panthers, not really a sports topic, but it's my team. They're from Charlotte. We're in North Carolina. They've always been my team. So... Jerry Richardson, I'm not going to get deep because I don't really know a whole lot about it, but there's been whispers and Sports Illustrated did an expose on Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Panthers.
Okay.
Because he is being accused by, I think, 6 different former Panthers employees of sexual misconduct in the workplace.
Players?
No. No. giant linebackers have been like, this old guy really got to me. No. No, it was young women that worked in the Panthers organization and, you know, near his office and things like that. And I read a little bit about it, and this is why I don't want to get too deep into it, because I don't want to get too upset, because I don't want to... In other words, we're not intending to have, like, a sexual allegations conversation today like we have every other week in the last 6 weeks or whatever. Yeah. But there's a difference, in my opinion, in telling someone, hey, you have a nice ass, than, like, you know, molesting someone.
Yes.
And I feel like they're all getting put into the same bucket, and we talked a little bit about that.
They really
and
are.
And I feel like that's dangerous. There has to be some kind of...
There is
hierarchy.
A huge gray area.
Yeah.
And I think, especially as a guy, I say this every week, we're still trying to understand what is okay and what not is okay. And a lot of ladies will say, well, it's obvious. Honestly, I'm going to put this out there. It's not obvious.
It's
not obvious.
You can say it's obvious to not be inappropriate, and I get that, but what I'm saying
is...
Here's a perfect example.
Okay, I work with this lady. She's my secretary, and I walk by and smack her on the ass. That's obvious. But saying, hey, you look nice today. That's a nice blouse.
That's right. But that's
Am I being creepy? Am I being creepy?
The accusations against Richardson are a little creepy.
Okay.
But here's my thing. He's 81 years old, dude. Mm-hmm. So when he was a young man, it wasn't as obvious back then. And he's an old man. My opinion is that he's probably an innocent flirting. Should he be doing it because he's the boss? No. But at the same time, is he abusing you? Is he molesting you?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? So anyway, listen, I don't want to get too
deep. Oh, but I have a great analogy.
Go ahead.
It's a really quick analogy.
Go ahead.
Let's just say it's we're 30, 40 years post the civil rights movement.
Right.
How would you feel if older white men and older white women were started to be accused of having racist actions in the 50s and 60s? Maybe not now, because now it's way, but I'm talking about maybe in the 80s, 90s. So now we're 20, 30 years out and say, okay, well, he was a racist back in the 50s. I mean, is it, I'm just putting this out there, does it make it okay that they have lived through that change?
So you're saying racism is different now than it was in the 50s?
Exactly.
After the
civil rights
movement.
Racism is never okay.
Well, of course not.
I'm just saying, as a social standard, is it okay to look back and
you can be more self-aware because of what's happened around you?
Another big example, of course, is now that they're trying certain members of the Nazis who worked in the concentration camps during World War II.
Uh-huh.
Is it okay to try them as criminals now, even though they were part of that, quote, machine back then?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they still did a terrible thing, but they did it as a part of this cultural movement that you get swept up in. I don't know if that makes it okay or not.
Well, anyway.
I don't think it does.
I don't want to get into a definition of sexual misconduct because, like I said, that wasn't the intent today. But I feel like what I've read about Richardson is more or less him being like, hey, you look good. Those jeans look a little tight on you. That kind of thing. Which, I mean, I've said that 150 million times in my life.
So
maybe I shouldn't admit that, but I'm just saying dumb shit like that.
We use this word a lot, but and I'm not really pointing to you because we use it for you as a joke, but it's creepy. It's kind of just creepy.
Right. You know, like I said, he's 80.
Yeah.
We're moving into a
time in our culture where that's not going to be okay, and I think it's a great thing.
All right. So anyway,
it's hard.
I bring up that controversy about Jerry Richardson because some people feel like it's related to what happened. But yesterday after the game, we defeated the Green Bay Packers yesterday and at home in Carolina. And after that game, a couple hours after the game ended, Richardson put an open letter on the internet. He put it on Panthers.com for all the fans to see, and anybody can see it. The sports networks picked up on it and started reporting it. But Jerry Richardson put out an open letter of his intent to sell the team at the end of the season.
He's going to sell the football team.
He's going to sell the team.
You want to buy it?
He's owned it since 1993. And the reason I bring it up is because the first person that kind of jumped on the bandwagon and started tweeting about it was Diddy. Are we calling him Diddy or Brother Love? What are we calling him?
Let's call him Brother Love.
I don't want to. So Diddy, Diddy tweeted his interest in buying the team and said that he has an intent to bid on the team when it's up for sale. A couple of things he mentioned in a video that he put out as well on Twitter. He wants to be the first majority black owner, which has never happened. And he specifically is excited to address the Kaepernick's absence in the NFL. He wants to, I guess, offer him a spot on the Panthers team, which I would be okay with. And he wants to improve the halftime entertainment, which that part, I would trust him with that part. I feel like maybe he'd come up with some good halftime shows. Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, who is a very, very famous Charlotte native who went to Davidson, and his dad still lives there, Del Curry, who played for the Charlotte Hornets, replied to Diddy's tweet and just says, quote, "I want in," unquote. And Curry, of course, is a black man as well. So if you get Curry and Diddy in there, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you're not a Panthers fan per se, but do you care? I mean, do you feel like that's a good thing to have an entertainer be a owner?
I guess I have a certain bias. Here's the thing. Just because you're popular and have lots of money doesn't mean necessarily
you know what
you
you're
can
doing.
Do everything.
Right.
It's almost like, I don't know. P. Diddy might know, I'm sorry, Brother Love, might know a lot about football. And he might be a wonderful owner. But it's like, you know what? I'm P. Diddy. I'm running for Congress. Well, you're popular.
So what you're saying is
you might get the vote. But just because you're good at something and you have a whole lot of money and therefore in our country a whole lot of influence doesn't mean you're necessarily
good at everything. So what you're saying is he'd be doing Trump, but he'd be doing it in the NFL.
He'd be Trumping.
He'd be Trumping the NFL.
Now, I don't know. Like I said, he may
know. He'd be Trumping.
He'd be Trumping. That's trending. That's going to start trending soon. He'd be Trumping. But he might know a lot about football. He might be the best thing that ever happened to the Panthers.
Right. You know? Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. Honestly,
do you want in? You should get in.
I would love in. I got like $20 I can throw in. I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, I'm more upset that Richardson has to go. Yeah. But at the same time, he's 81. He had open heart surgery like 5 years ago. He's not in good
health.
It's got
to be stressful to be an owner.
I mean, he's not going to do it forever. You know. So I was already anticipating he's going to retire at some point and sell the team. I just hate if it's related to these allegations, like I said, because I don't think they're really carry a lot of weight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I'm more upset about, because Richardson has really brought that to the Charlotte community. I mean, I'm from Charlotte. All my family's still there. I mean, Charlotte is a different, more vibrant city since 1993, since the Panthers came.
That's awesome.
The Hornets
that's
came wonderful. Back to Charlotte after
that
leaving.
That says a lot about what sports can do for a culture and for a community.
I mean, that community is just...
Brings you together, brings some excitement, really, brings a lot of money and a lot of a commerce or whatever.
Right. I mean, that
economic
fan base...
improvement.
The fan base really embraced it. I mean, a lot of people, when we did the expansion back in the 90s, and I can remember my dad was a PSL owner the first season. So the first season, he had season tickets, and I mean, there was half the stadium was full. I mean, people were just afraid that Charlotte wasn't going to embrace football, pro football, but they did. And then the Hornets came back.
Charlotte's a great town. They've done this great town.
So anyway, we'll see what happens there. I mean, of course, who knows, but I don't think Diddy will end up owning the team. I mean, I guess if he pays enough money, he could, but like you said, he would have to surround himself with people that know what the hell they're doing. I mean,
one would think that's what he would do.
I mean, Steph Curry, maybe, because at least he's been in pro sports and he's from Charlotte. So at least maybe, you know.
Diddy's from, I don't know, New York.
I think New York. Bronx.
I wonder why the Panthers?
Just because they're up for sale. Okay. He wants to own an NFL team. So it's not like NFL teams go up for sale every day. So. Yeah.
Ooh, NFL team.
Yeah, he saw it. So he's like, hey, it's not like you find him on Craigslist.
It's like going to the grocery store. And I never really eat this product, but it's on sale today. I'll try that.
Yeah, exactly.
So living in P. Diddy's world, that's what it's like. Hey, exactly. I've never owned a football team before.
All right, so last thing on our entertainment book in here, buddy. You like Clooney? You like the Cloonster? George Clooney?
Dude.
He's a man, right? So
I
dapper. So dapper, right?
Dapper Dan. He's a dapper Dan, man.
He's a man, dude. I love Clooney.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? One of my favorite movies of all time. He's amazing at that as Ulysses Everett McGill.
He is. I tell you what, him
I'm
and
Dapper Dan, man.
Him and Tom Hanks better stay out of this sexual harassment thing. I don't want them to get the crosshairs.
Clooney is too... I think he has too much style.
I'll tell you, I met Clooney, right?
You know?
Have we talked about him on the show before?
Not on the show.
Oh, yeah. I met George Clooney.
Yeah.
one of my, I mean, I only met her for like 10 seconds, but it was amazing. I don't say never, but I've probably only been starstruck like twice in my life. And that was one time.
I've only been starstruck once.
Yeah. When you came over to see me for the first time.
Yep.
You're like, wow, this is the guy. This is the guy.
When I was cleaning, out the storage closet in a restaurant in Studio City, California.
Who was in there?
And the closet door was open and I could see the hallway that had the bathrooms in it. And I looked up and leaning against the wall looking sexy as hell was Justin Timberlake.
No, you never told me that story. Yes. We're so such a big up. JT face. Did you ever told me that?
Now, this was post-Justify.
Did you talk to him?
This was post-Justify. I looked up at him and I said, hey, man. I said, you're like the, I couldn't even talk. I was like, you're like the hottest artist in the world right now.
Yeah.
That's what he said to him. He's like, no, man. It's my man. I said, hey, man, give me one of these.
Is that what he said to him? What did you say to him? Did you say anything to him?
That's what I said.
That's what you said to him? Yeah. And he just looked at you like, dude, I got to take a leak here. I'm not in the mood. Like,
this is why I don't go
out.
Did
you ask if you go ahead and hold it?
See, you know why I didn't do that? Because I'm not creepy.
That would have been creepy, yeah. But what if he had said yes? Yeah. Hey.
Justin Timberlake.
Hey, you missed your opportunity there. All right, listen, so George Clooney.
Okay, George
Clooney. Now, I wish this is when I'd met him, but it wasn't. He had 14 of his. Have you heard the story? He had this. I put up a four. I don't know why. Put a one in front of this, would you?
Okay.
We're running out of time already. So he had 14 people over to his house for a dinner party. Have you heard this story?
Yeah, I guess I have.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. It was like a holiday party or whatever. Yeah. And he had 14.
Like friends, like real friends.
Yeah, like his closest friends and confidants over the years. 14 of them. And they all sit down. You know, you've seen the dinner parties, how they're portrayed on TV. I don't. My dinner parties consist of hot dogs and Fritos, but, you know.
I've been to one. It's delicious.
You've been to one, yeah.
You can grill a hot dog, brother.
Thank you, buddy. But anyway, they all sit down to dinner, you know, however many folks are there. And at the end of dinner, the last course of the meal, they each get a gift box placed in front of them.
Okay.
And Clooney says, this is for you guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks for all you've done for me in my career. You guys have always been there for me. You've been friends with mine for 30 years. Like, you guys mean the world to me.
Yeah.
You know, accept this gift on my behalf. Happy holidays. So each of them open up the box, and each one of them, 14 people, brother, have $1 million in $20 bills in the box for each friend.
Crazy.
All right. He even paid the gift tax for them. So they didn't have to pay a tax. So they walked away from this dinner party, not only with a full tummy, but with $1 million. Can you believe that?
Amazing.
What are you doing for me? You did bring me an ornament today.
I brought you a Christmas present.
You did bring me an ornament. Yeah. That's pretty good. You brought me a Starbucks ornament.
I did.
That's close.
I know
you're
you.
$1 million, brother.
I know you. Not only do I know that Gerald's tree is covered in Starbucks ornaments, but I know that most of the Starbucks ornaments are the coffee cup ornaments, and I got him a different one, Peace and Love, on it because you spread peace
That's
and
true.
Love.
That's true. And you are a peace and love guy. You know what I mean?
Just by staying in your house and not leaving and not interacting with people, you spread peace and love.
Just by hiding in my robe inside the four walls. All right, brother, let's get into our 1D topic. But before we do that,
okay,
as every week, we got to take a pee break.
Got a pee-pee.
Go in the bathroom. There's $1 million in there for you.
Really?
No, just kidding. There's nothing in there at all. Well, there's candy canes in there if you want one of those.
I don't want a bathroom candy cane.
Our featured pod friend of the week this week is Varmints.
Varmints?
Varmints. Our buddy Paul runs that podcast, and it is literally a podcast about different animals. So each week, they focus on a different animal, and they tell the backstory about it.
Really?
And they have fun trivia and fun facts about
that. I would love to listen to this podcast.
It's actually a lot of fun. A specific animal. They recently did flamingos, which was a lot of fun.
I want to know more about marsupials.
They are on hiatus for a couple weeks, but they come back the first week of January, just like we do. Hey, we're going to be on hiatus with them.
Oh.
And they'll be discussing, I don't know what, actually. He put up a poll what animal they're going to talk about when they come back. I think it might be beavers. Beavers is winning the poll.
Ah, the beaver.
But Varmints is our featured pod friend of the week, and we did a rapid fire segment with Paul. So let's listen to that real quick, Andy, and then when we come back, we'll get into our one deep topic.
Yes, sir.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, we find ourselves in the midst of another pee break. This week, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Paul from the Varmints podcast. That's Varmints with an exclamation point. He talks all things animals. Paul, are you ready for your pee break rapid fire questions, brother?
My bladder is empty and I was born ready. Let's do this.
Let's do it, man. Here we go. If you could only listen to one musician for the rest of your life, who would it be?
R.E.M.
If you could eat a specific type of food right now, what would it be?
Shrimp and cocktail sauce.
Donald Duck or Daffy Duck?
Daffy Duck, way funnier.
If you had no choice, would you rather discuss politics or religion?
Oh, God. Religion.
All right, Paul, complete this sentence. When I am sleeping, I look like...
a beached whale. I don't know.
Gotta send pics of that, brother. All right, HGTV or ESPN?
HGTV.
Your tombstone will say, "Here lies Paul, a man who was known for..."
Getting stumped on podcasts.
There you go. Well, I think you're living that. You're living that, so I'll take it. All right, this one's specifically for you, Paul. Would you rather live underwater or in the clouds?
Underwater.
Okay. Bacon or sausage?
Bacon. All day bacon.
My
Instagram handle is bacon is my favorite vegetable.
Oh, I didn't know that. But
Yes.
I was going to say before we started recording, I should have asked if you were a vegetarian, but I guess we all know the answer to that now.
No.
All right. And the last question, Paul. Describe your podcast in 3 words only, sir.
Funny animal education.
There it is, and I agree with that. I listen to the show every week. Guy, the show is Varmints, and your host, Paul, there. You can find all of his information in the show notes. Paul, thanks for being the pod friend of the week this week, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 55. I love The Doors, man. I love Jim Morrison.
Mysterious.
One of my favorite artists, man. I love him.
Jim is great.
Did you ever see the movie Oliver Stone did with Val Kilmer?
I have. And there's also a pretty good documentary on Netflix about The Doors. It's called...
Actually, I think I saw that. It might be called Strange Days, actually.
No.
It's not?
When You're Strange.
When You're Strange. He did a lot of songs about being strange.
Yes, he was a strange guy.
He was in there,
strange
man.
Strange cat.
He was in there. So welcome to our One Deep Topic segment. Thank you to Jim and the Doors there
Jimmy
for bringing
Jim.
Us in with Strange Days. Strange days are upon us, Andy.
They are.
Okay, because what we're going to talk about this week for our One Deep Topic, you know, we're recording a little bit early, so it's a little, maybe something's going to happen in the next couple days.
Okay.
I apologize if it does, but this has been brewing for a couple weeks, but we're going to talk about net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
And basically the repeal of that occurred last week.
Okay.
So you want to give you some facts first and then...
Yeah, I want some facts.
We were talking a little bit about it when you came over this morning.
I need to know a little bit more about this neutrality net thing.
Basically, the FCC voted 3-2 last week to repeal the Obama-era net neutrality rule.
Mm-hmm.
Net neutrality was a rule, and still is because it hasn't gone into effect yet, but net neutrality is a rule that ensured all web data is treated equally by internet service providers.
Okay. You know, if I get my internet through AT&T,
yeah,
that means they're going to give me a certain broadband, a certain speed.
Yeah.
But once I have that speed,
the content, right,
and I get into the internet, everything on the internet I have equal access to.
Ah,
so
absolutely.
AT&T can't say, well, we're going to make these internet sites work really well. We're going to slow these down
because
we don't want you to be. And you know what? We're not going to give you, we don't want you to have access to these.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So not
putting
have,
it very, very,
not,
very.
Of course, we don't simply. Know yet because it really depends on what the ISPs and the companies do mm-hmm. on the back end of this going into effect.
Yeah.
But right now, the fear is amongst people that use the internet all the time, which, let's be honest, is pretty much everybody in the world.
Yeah, the internet, I mean, it is the open source.
Yeah, I mean, it's
once
definitely,
you have access to it, you're there and you can find anything.
Yeah. So no net neutrality, if that's officially gone, could mean that streaming companies such as Netflix or even YouTube could tax you for using their site, or could the ISPs could charge you more to use those sites. So what I saw in the New York Times, here, let me read this little quote from this article about net neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this to kind of resonate with people because I think pretty much everybody has some type of television service, whether it's streaming through Hulu or Netflix or whether you have cable or DirecTV.
Everyone watches something.
Not everyone, of course, but the vast majority of people in America have some type of
cable. I don't have cable, but I have Netflix and Hulu.
Exactly. And you have the satellite like I do, or the antenna. So here's something that I thought was interesting and kind of a comparison, because if you think about it in terms of television, but the New York Times says, negotiating internet access will feel a lot like negotiating your television, cable, or cell phone bill. You'll be forced to untangle various packages relating to different sites and services you might use, pay for ISP-branded content you probably don't care about, and get that sinking feeling at the beginning of every month that you are, in one way or another, overpaying for your service. We all feel that way. Well, you and I might not anymore, but people that have cable and satellite, they feel that way.
So basically,
because they have 200 channels,
so
they watch 10 of them.
I love sports
yeah.
and I love news. So I get an internet package
exactly.
that's going to give me an access or really high speeds or whatever to these sports sites
and
these
you're gonna pay more
sites.
For it. And you're gonna pay
I'm
more
gonna pay for that.
It.
But I'm not gonna get these other things because I don't have an entertainment package.
Right.
So basically now AT&T, Comcast, Spectrum, whatever, right. Time Warner Cable, they can choose to charge me different rates based on the content they want to provide me.
Yeah.
So it's no longer open sourced on the internet.
Well, it hasn't gone into effect yet, but yes.
But if it does.
It's still being fought in court. But if it goes into effect and is officially repealed, then yes. Now, these are all possibilities because, again, now, do I think companies, multi-billion dollar companies, are going to do the right thing? No, I don't. They're going to try to make more money. But if the companies decide to do the right thing, like Netflix, for example, because Netflix CEO said they're not going to change their service. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
But if they see they can make an extra $5 billion next year, they might do it. In other words, I don't trust
them. As a company, when your top priority is profit, which let's face it, most companies are, then everything has to serve that top priority. Therefore, if your second or third priority is providing a good service and being of a benefit to humanity or whatever,
yeah.
I don't know if that's Netflix priority, then that priority has to serve the profit. So if they can make a profit, you never know.
Right, yeah. Possibility is that these companies like Netflix, for example, could enter into agreements to pay the ISPs on the back end in exchange for providing them with faster connections than their competitors have. So let's say Netflix sticks with their plan.
Okay.
Let's just, because CEO already has already said his intent of not to change.
So I'm paying $10 a month for
what they're doing. Right.
Okay.
Oh, well, 11 now, but yeah.
Okay.
But let's say he sticks to his word, which I don't think he will, but let's say he does, and Hulu doesn't. And Hulu says, you know what? No, we're going to do, net neutrality is not there anymore. So here you go, Time Warner. Here you go, AT&T. Here's our whatever money we're going to give you. Now give us a faster connection for our users. So now people are going to go, Netflix is slow as shit, but Hulu's fucking lightning fast.
So
I'm going to pay an extra $2 so I can use Hulu.
I'm going to get Hulu instead of Netflix because I have AT&T.
Because faster.
And AT&T is fast. Hulu is faster than AT&T.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it creates that. In other words, until it at least gets ironed out with like different limitations and regulations, because the FCC does regulate stuff. But until the regulations are in place, it's taken away kind of like where it's fucking fair game now.
Now here's
like
the
anybody
thing.
Can basically make any deal with anybody.
Let me give you the two ends of the spectrum as far as opinions are concerned.
Hey, Spectrum is one of the cable players.
I'm gonna give you the extremes, and then Gerald, we can find our way to the middle like we usually do. Here's the two extremes, and you can plug these as Democrat and Republican if you want, because typically they tend to be on one side or the other as far as extremes are concerned. The more Republican free market folks, not all Republicans, but the free market libertarians ideas say that everything is free. Everything's free market, meaning
right.
That means there should be no regulations. Competition drives excellence. So there should be no FCC regulations because all these companies vying for customers,
right.
Who cares how much they charge, because the customers will control what's available to them,
right.
Meaning that the best will win. The best will rise to the top. That's what the free market says. They say, you know what? Forget the FCC. I mean, forget the other. We don't need any kind of regulations because...
We'll let the consumers tell us.
The consumers. Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, if Netflix cannot compete with Hulu, then Hulu's going to win. Yay. The other side of the coin, typically the more democratic side, but the other side of the coin is, you know what? The market doesn't have any morality to it. We have to inject the morality into it.
Yeah.
We have to make regulations because, like you said earlier, these companies, all they care about is profits, and we have to save the consumer from being screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the two extremes. Now let's find our way to the middle.
Well, this might be in the middle because I did this earlier where I played kind of like devil's advocate with it a little bit. But what the similarity that I wanted to put out to you when I talked about TV. Okay. So, I don't know. Did you watch a lot of TV in the 80s and 90s? You probably did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
we were going to talk about the Roseanne thing, but we didn't get to it. But
sitcoms.
Roseanne's coming back.
Sitcom. The age of the sitcom.
Yeah. I mean, even in, you know, 90s, Growing Pains,
Friends,
Family Matters.
Late 90s,
like, you know.
Yeah.
But
Family Matters.
But if you think about it, if you really think about it, in the 80s and 90s, Cheers, you know, when I was watching all those shows, that was on, quote, free television. So that was...
I think my last memory of this age was paying like $20 a month to Cox Cable in Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you had just had TV.
Mm-hmm.
You had TV.
Yeah. That's the thing. Or even if you had like rabbit ears or an antenna.
Yeah. You got
you could get the network shows
and
them. You could watch them. Yeah. You know, we joked around about it because we have the antenna now.
Yeah.
And I was joking around with my wife the other day because we waited up one night to watch that Trolls Holiday Special with my son. And I was joking around with her that this is what we had to do as a family in the 80s and 90s. We had to like huddle around the TV.
TV?
At 8:30 to watch it, or we missed it.
And a lot of those,
you know,
some
you
of
get,
those channels are still like
get,
Fox, NBC, ABC. They're still available for free.
Well, right, but I'm saying you get kind of, or we did, we got kind of spoiled with DVR.
Yes,
and you can do it on demand.
Interesting.
You know, when
but
you don't
got to pay for it.
But in the 80s and 90s, it was, you got around 8:30, you watched it. In other words, everybody had access to the four major networks.
Got it.
You know, you get an antenna, you get TV.
And there wasn't a lot else to choose from. There wasn't, right. I mean, you could get your Cinemax and HBO if you wanted.
So now,
there wasn't a lot else to choose from.
So now, if you start in the 80s and you move forward to today, really,
yeah.
And you look at the timeline of events, every couple years, more TV gets added.
Yeah.
Okay.
More options.
I want to say HBO came along in the late 80s.
Yeah.
So HBO comes along. So now if you want HBO and you want to watch movies in your house,
yeah.
Home
no
box office.
No commercials.
Home box office, brother.
Yeah.
That's still what they call themselves. You had to pay for that. Yeah. $5 a month or whatever it was. Okay, I'm going to get HBO plus my free TV.
Okay.
Then it keeps going. Then Cinemax is a spinoff.
Yeah.
You want to see titties at midnight, you got to pay for Cinemax. You know? Skinemax. Oh, I'm going to get Skinemax. Yeah. You know, unscramble that nipple or whatever. You know what I mean? So I'm going to get that. Anyway,
anyway, this is a progression of your life.
I didn't mean to be this creepy
Showtime.
About telling the story, but sorry.
Yeah.
I am who I am, really. Yeah. But anyway, so you continue on. You get my point.
Yeah.
So what we know today, so we're paying $100 a month for DirecTV or $80 a month for,
getting packages.
Time Warner Cable or whatever.
I got to get
Sunday Ticket. Yeah. I got to get all the shit. So, but that's what we know now.
With access and availability comes higher prices.
That's what we know now.
And I gave you
this analogy
okay.
that our children, for example. So let's say net neutrality is officially repealed and they start doing, quote, internet packages, similar to cable packages.
Okay.
And our children grow up and they have a family. That's all they're going to know.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? They're not going to remember necessarily the days of, quote, free internet.
Just like my kids know sitting around the TV at 8 o'clock watching a show.
Right.
They just go Netflix.
Right. Exactly.
Go to Hulu.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We remember it.
Yeah.
But our children don't.
Yeah.
So it's like fast forward to that they're going to know net neutrality being gone. They're not going to have no difference. They're not going to know any difference. So my question is access
to the internet, that might just be something that we're used to.
That's something.
And that's why so many of us might be scared to get rid of it.
Now, with that being said, I don't like it.
No,
seriously, I think that having, there's got to be billions, maybe even trillions of different websites.
Yeah.
And who's also going to hurt in this is the, like us, for example, the small business and the independent websites.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be on people's packages.
And if they're not paying.
You know what I'm saying?
Like if
I'm not going to be able to afford
that. If
these
servers aren't paying, that means we might have slower internet speeds. Like, well, I'm not going to listen to 2 Peas on a podcast because it's slow.
Right.
It's slow on the internet anyway.
Right.
It's slow on my, because they're not paying AT&T to get the faster service.
Not slow as in knowledge, which we also are. But that's not what you mean. That's
now,
not
here's,
what you mean.
Let me give you a little, something that makes me a little bit nervous. Like I understand the progression of things. I understand why this could be, why people would think this is beneficial as far as, creating competition and streamlining. Because there's a lot on the internet streamlining what you have available and, your experience or whatever. But this also has the danger of making information not as available. Because right now, for good or for bad, everything's available on the internet. Like when I told you earlier, when Hillary and Pizzagate, that, what Trump calls fake news is biased news. That's not fake news.
Mm-hmm.
Pizzagate and Hillary, that's fake news. It's a story someone made up to sway votes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's available. And I'm okay with that because it's the free market. It's a free expression.
It's free and fair internet.
It's free
right?
expression. So right. you can put anything out there. Now, maybe internet providers, ISPs, they can say what kind of information they want to let you have. So let's say Fox buys AT&T or something like that.
Right.
Now, I don't have access to MSNBC.com.
Right.
I don't have access to CNN.
I
don't have access
fear
to
is.
The information that they don't agree with. Because let's
and that's
face
what
it,
the fear is.
We live in a society is becoming more and more and more polarized.
I've always said, now I know Sling TV advertises it, but it's not true because I looked into Sling TV when we did our whole cut the cord. But I've always said that a television company or a streaming company should come up with a service where you can just go through the 500 channels available and pick the channels you want.
Yeah.
And then each channel is like 99 cents.
But they can't do that because the Discovery Channel, which no one watches, they're paying Comcast or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Because like no one's going to watch this. No one's going to pick it. But you have to put it in your package.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what the fear is going to happen with the internet.
Yeah.
Because like if I want to go to YouTube, I have to buy the quote package that has YouTube.
Yeah.
And there might be 15 other sites that I would never visit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which is what happens with television, which is why we cut the cord.
Yeah.
Now, I'm comparing it with TV. But I think if the repeal stands, if the court battle is lost and the repeal stands, and there's actually hope, if you want to use the word, I use the word hope because I'm against repealing it, but there's hope that this will be a part of the midterm platforms for a lot of Democrats because you mentioned the Republican side of it, and that's why the Republicans and Trump are trying to repeal it because it brings in the capitalistic feature where yeah. that's a lot more money being circulated in the corporations around the country.
Which
that part, okay, well, you know.
They understand, like, let's allow these companies to make more money. Let's allow the, quote, best yeah, companies who's paying to rise for it? To the top. Exactly.
We're paying for it. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I feel like it's a big deal right now, yeah. of course, and it'll be a topic next year at the midterms, and we'll see what happens in the next couple yeah. years as it gets ironed out with regulations and so on and so forth. But I feel like if it does stand, the repeal stands, and net neutrality is gone for the foreseeable future, I'm just saying that it won't be as big a deal in 10 years.
Do you think they'll come up with something like this? Is what I kind of foresee, that there'll be a middle ground where these companies will be able to sell the packages. They will be able to streamline your experience on what you're going to pay for. However, there has to be a clause, I think, where information still has to be universally available. Like, you cannot cater your information to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that we're already moving in that direction anyway, where people already find their news
this is gonna make
on
that,
the websites that they agree with.
Well, this is going to open that door even more. Because yes. like you said, if somebody subscribes to the news package, yeah. then Fox News already knows that they watch the news, they keep up with the news. So I'm going to make sure I feed you what I want you to eat.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So now, I mean, we've already gotten to this point, but it's going to become even more extreme because now someone sitting in a house in Georgia has completely different information than someone sitting in a house in Pennsylvania. They have completely different information.
The last thing about that was from that New York Times article, you know, Thursday's repeal of these protections dealt a severe blow to the struggle for a free and open internet.
Yeah.
But the fight is not over, they say. The core promise of a neutral network remains, and public support for it is both overwhelming and clear. We can make it happen, but we're going to need the help of Congress and the judicial branch to ensure the principle into law. So free and fair internet, real quick to wrap up before we get into our pop culture stuff. We're already close to time on this. Free and fair internet, are you for that or with the repeal of net neutrality? In other words, before today, did you really even care about it? I mean, I'll just be honest.
Well, I took it something like that you think, you, yeah. I took it for granted. Now, it's a complicated issue, but like other issues, I lean toward a fair and free internet mm-hmm. because there's too much at stake. Mm-hmm. There's the internet right now is the source where we get most of our information from. And it also is a platform for, like you said, anybody can put themselves out there on the internet. Now, once that's controlled by people with lots of money, guess what? People without a lot of money,
yeah,
they don't get access
we're
to
left,
it.
Whatever, yeah, exactly. Whatever
so
we can pay
the
for.
The internet right now is too important and too powerful to allow the big businesses to control the, quote, airwaves.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Right now.
That's our one deep topic, net neutrality. Let us know what you think on our Facebook page if you'd like.
Neutrality.
Paul from Varmints sent over a promo for his show. So let's listen to that real quick. They are a featured pod friend of the week. If you want to learn about animals, go listen to Varmints.
Tell us about the beaver.
Those guys are good. Yeah, tell us about beavers, please.
Yes. Gerald, you need to learn a little more about the beaver.
Go over and check that out. Listen to his promo. Andy, when we come back, we will wrap up what is supposed to be our Christmas episode. Have we done any? Let's do some holiday chatter.
You want to?
I don't have anything on here though, so remind me. Here's Varmint's promo and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Sounds good.
Hey, my name's Paul and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints! Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 55 of our Christmas week episode, of which we've discussed Have we discussed Christmas yet? Well, you talked about my Starbucks ornament. You got me my ornaments.
Yes. Elvis at the beginning.
You talked about, yes. We played Christmas music.
Merry Christmas. We're taking away your internet.
Happy holidays, brother. Our gift to you. No more surfing the web. All right. Let's talk about a couple. Oh, so I get into food ones a lot, which I actually have a food one today as well.
You love food.
But, you know, it's interesting.
Yes. Gerald looks a little more comfortable and natural with a biscuit.
prior to the food topic I want to discuss, let's talk about two alcohol ones, because I'm typically drunk in my life. So let's talk about this.
Is that why you always wear a robe? I don't want to put on clothes.
All right. The first one is there is as you see, there's a new cooler coming on the market. You know, cooler, which is used to keep beverages cold.
I've used
a cooler. You know what
that is. I've used
a cooler. There's a new cooler that will literally toss you a beer. Have you seen this?
Now, do you have to be able to catch the beer? I don't know.
You definitely want to catch it or it's going to hit you in the face.
Because by the time you get the fourth or fifth beer, you're not catching the
beer. Well, the cooler cannon is what it's called.
So it shoots the beer.
It comes with a remote, or it can be synced through the app on your phone to control it. But it can hold up to 18 cans of, I say beer, but whatever beverage you want to put in there, brother. If you want to put, you know, New Grape
bottles
or Sunkist in there, whatever you want to put in there.
Okay.
Don't put nobody glass objects in there. Please keep it to cans, brother. Only you would be putting glass wine coolers in it. Toss me a strawberry kiwi. You know? Don't do that.
Okay.
All right. So it can hold up to 18 cans.
Okay.
And it uses a spring lever to launch the beer to you to 8 feet away.
Just sounds dangerous. That's not like a good idea at all.
Well, you're always at the tailgate. You're like, hey, toss me a beer, you know? So now you just press the button, the beer tosses you. I can't wait till the videos go viral with this thing. When somebody's like, you know, toss my friend a beer and he's not paying attention and just fucking smacks him upside the head.
Exactly.
That'd be classic, right?
Oh,
I can't
man.
Wait to see those videos.
This seems like a headache waiting to happen.
Literally. It would give you a headache too if it hit you in the face.
Yeah.
All right. You're not into that. When you going to drink beer?
Well, you know, I don't drink at all, really. And you know,
you don't.
Drunk people and technology sometimes don't mix.
You know what? You don't drink at all, but you used to smoke a little something. You told me about that.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of drugs in high school and college, experimented with expanding my mind.
Well, how about this one?
With what people say when they
just want to buy. Is a winery. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
That's it's called Rebel Coast Winery.
Nice.
Out of course in Sonoma, California.
Of course, that's California.
And they're producing a new Sauvignon Blanc, which is a white wine.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Which is fun with to no say. Alcohol.
What?
You want me to tell you?
Why do I want to drink wine with no alcohol? Tell me why I'm drinking this.
I'm going to tell you why you want to, because it is a THC infused wine.
Nice.
Infused with the dank ganja there, buddy.
I wonder how it tastes.
How you feel about it? Well, let me tell you a little bit about it here. So
of course,
it's
edibles. I mean, people have been eating weed for decades.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just
including you this morning. I brought
you a cookie.
It's going to be a Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
That's going to contain 4 milligrams of THC per serving. I don't know how much it is. Is that like a joint?
I don't know.
I don't know
THC milligrams.
That's a joint.
Yeah.
You don't go to your dealer and say, hey, can you give me 4 milligrams?
Oh, 4 milligrams.
I want 4 milligrams of your Best Dime bag. You don't do that?
No.
All right. Well, that's what I did. Maybe that's why I didn't get that much.
Back in the day, we just got a bag of Chronic.
So it's
broken up and rolled
it's
up.
It's made from grapes from right in Sonoma County, California. And it also is going to have a cannabis aroma. So it's going to smell like pots.
So here's the thing.
Tastes like Sauvignon Blanc. How do you feel?
In my younger days, I loved cannabis.
Let's have a bottle of this on show.
It.
You want to?
But here's the thing.
That'd be a fun
here's
show,
the
right?
Thing. I'm gonna put this out there. Here's the thing. Cannabis, weed, chronic, you know, the dank. It's called dank for a reason.
Mm.
Weed doesn't smell good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you spent most of your young life trying to hide the smell of it.
Yeah,
it doesn't
true.
Smell good. Like, I don't want it to have a weed aroma. I want my weed to smell like black cherry.
But it's interesting. Yeah.
The reason you roll blunts is you put it in the tobacco paper so it smells better.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's going to smell like pot and taste like wine. I don't know. That kind of intrigues me a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I like the idea of the THC.
How do you feel about the smell or the aroma of something catching you off guard? Because sometimes you'll smell it and be like, oh, this smells like cinnamon. And then you'll eat it and it'll taste like chocolate.
I don't know how.
Has that ever happened?
I don't spend much time thinking about this.
You don't smell your candy before you eat it.
But I guess I don't really have any examples of when there's not mixing. Like, this smells like this, but tastes like this.
I don't know. We're talking about the holidays.
Yes, but I can't think of wine tasting like. We're not gonna be able to get it here. It's North Carolina. It's not legal yet.
Well, you can pre-order it. They'll ship it to you.
And that's legal?
Apparently. Maybe certain states you won't be able to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not
that's
here.
A good point.
No, it's coming soon.
That's a good point.
It's coming soon.
Maybe certain states.
It's going to be federally legal in the next couple of years.
Well, we go out of California and try. Okay. Is it legal out there?
Yeah.
It must be if they're making it.
California, Oregon,
Colorado. Yeah, let's get
high. Massachusetts.
These guys are all good.
I think so.
Massachusetts now?
I think so.
I got a lot of friends in Boston. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I need to go visit
those guys. I want to say Massachusetts, one of the last ones in the last election.
I need to go visit those guys, get lit up there.
Yeah, get crazy.
Talk to my buddy Brandon and get up there.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about the holidays. Have you seen this not really a story here. I just want to get your impression because you often kind of scoff at the funny trends that happen.
I do. I'm sorry.
Have you seen the new Christmas tree hair, beard, and eyebrow trends that are sweeping the internet?
I have.
You see any of that?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's cool. It's fun.
Basically,
you know?
Dudes with beards
with ornaments
can put glitter and ornaments.
Yeah.
Like beard ornaments. Women can do their hair kind of like Marge Simpson
fun,
and put Christmas lights
like
around
that,
it.
Yeah.
You know, eyebrows festive. Have ornaments and shit.
Yeah.
You like it, really?
I think it's fun.
You usually scoff at it, but you like this?
It's ridiculous and silly, but it's Christmas.
You know what they look like? They look like the Who's from Whoville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When they do that.
Yeah, Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, they look like that.
Gerald Poohoo.
Gerald Poohoo. I got one more, brother. Yeah. I'm going to throw you for a loop. You ready? Yes. Actually, we skipped one earlier. You want to go back to that?
I don't see any in your hair and your head. Do you have any ornaments on your body?
Actually, did I skip one? I do have ornaments on my body. I can't show you right now because I'm sitting down. It ended up in a weird space. I have to go relieve myself later. Okay, last one. So we went to see The Last Jedi this weekend.
We did.
Did you see it at Regal Cinema by chance?
Or
did
I you do AMC? AMC.
I did AMC as well. What's the AMC stand for?
I saw it at Southport.
So did I.
American
Why'd
movie.
You come all the way out here, Sid? You live in Raleigh. What the hell are you doing?
My brother lives in Fuquay Varina, and my other good friend lives in Durham. So we met at Southport.
Oh, okay. So you did it for the friend.
Yeah.
Wow. So basically, you were a mile away from me, and you still didn't invite me.
No.
Just double checking there.
Right. You said you were going with your wife.
So anyway, Regal.
I want to deprive you of the one time your wife's going to sit next to you for
exactly,
2.5 hours.
Exactly.
The one time.
Regal Cinemas is going to be rolling out a Cheetos-flavored popcorn.
Interesting.
Humanity has peaked, brother.
I like you think so.
What do you think?
You got small standards.
What
man.
Do you think? Here?
Low standards.
I got a quote from the CEO.
I love Cheetos.
All right.
I love cheese popcorn.
Would you try it?
I do too. I'd try it.
So that's the thing.
I'm usually not into this kind of weird, okay, I'm Gerald making chicken chalupa kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
do you do the cheese powder on the popcorn when you do
it? Not usually.
Do you get popcorn in the movies?
Never.
It's too expensive, right?
Never, ever. Yeah, because I'm going to the movie. My wife and I are going. God forbid our kids are going. It's $30 or $40. I'm not going to get $20 popcorn.
I feel that. When I do, I used to when I was younger. When I was younger. Like when my pops would take me, he's paying. So I'm getting popcorn. I'm getting Twizzlers and doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm getting the giant cup that I can swim in. I'm doing the whole thing. But now I don't get shit. I'm bringing in myself. You know? I'm bringing in like
in your purse
Chinese shrimp rolls that stink up the theater. So here's a quote from the CEO of Regal Cinemas. He says, quote, "We're excited to give moviegoers a chance to experience Cheetos in an unexpected and delicious new way through our first national theater partnership with the brand," unquote.
They always make it sound so Regal.
Cool.
And like, Regal, yeah. We're excited to let moviegoers experience the delightful flavors of Cheetos in our mixed
Did you see?
You got Cheetos popcorn.
Have you ever seen the Burger King, the Cheeto fries?
Oh, yes.
They're like mozzarella sticks with Cheeto cheese sauce in it.
You got
Would you do that?
Did you eat them?
I tried. No, I didn't try those. I didn't try those.
Did you eat them?
I didn't try. I tried the chicken fries, but I didn't try those.
The chicken fries. Do you like that?
I mean, it's just chicken. They're just chicken sticks. That's all there is.
This is not a fry.
They're literally chicken fingers shaped like a fry. I mean, it's kind of a ripoff, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Here's your loop.
Remember when we were younger, KFC popcorn chicken?
Oh, I do.
When they took basically, everyone loves the crust of the of KFC's extra crispy. Let's just take the crust out of little balls.
You know, Michael's not going to, we talked about Michael earlier, he's not going to want to hear this, but that's why I like the Chick-fil-A chicken, because you just pop those things in your face hole, you know? You know, just pop them down, bro. You don't have to chew them, you know?
You need to call.
Just swallow them whole,
you
brother.
You need to call Chick-fil-A and ask them if you can be their spokesman.
Just swallow them whole, brother.
When you say, you just pop them in your face hole. That's a tagline. That's going to sell.
Eat more chicken. All right, here you go. Here's your
Chick-fil-A. Loop. Pop them in your face hole.
Here's your. Just have me on the thing.
Like, hey!
In my robe. All right, here's your loop.
Oh, goodness.
If the theater had this flavor popcorn,
okay,
you'd get it every time.
Every single time.
What's the flavor of popcorn that would entice you to order it every time you went to the movies? That you can't get now.
That I can't get now. That's hard. What do I want? What kind of popcorn do I want?
Flavored snack. Flavored would you be snack. Popping that every time.
Every single time. I want to go brown sugar cinnamon.
That's mine.
Ah!
Dude, is this our first? Is this our first match on the loop?
I think so.
Holy
brown
shit.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
That's mine.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
I just threw my notes down, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe it.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
We have to go out on that note, brother.
Brown
I can't even say anything else.
Sugar cinnamon.
Can you believe that we matched?
Yeah.
We've never matched a loop 14 months of the show.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Or have we? I don't think we ever have we? I feel like we did maybe one more time. Maybe one other time we did.
Maybe. But this is a big one.
That's big.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
Brown sugar cinnamon, bro.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's mine, too. I don't even have anything else to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I went to the theater, because you know what? Those Pop-Tarts get me every time.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
They get me every time.
Growing up, that's all my dad ever got.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Pop-Tart. I had no idea they had like blueberry and cherry and other flavors. I thought, well, what's a Pop-Tart? It's a brown sugar cinnamon and a little Pop-Tart.
I have these.
That's all a Pop-Tart is.
I have these vanilla caramel cream coffee K-cups. So I thought about caramel cream, but I'm like, that'd be too sweet.
No.
They already have caramel corn.
But I also like the texture. Like, I can see that on popcorn because it has like
pop
the salt
that in
texture.
There, man. Just pop that in there. Your face hole right after the popcorn chicken. Just fucking all
brown sugar cinnamon popcorn.
Just
pop it in your face hole.
All down the throat path, brother. Are you ready? Let me bring Santa back into King of Rock and Roll, brother.
Yes.
Andy, this is our Christmas episode, so get Christmassy, but give us your final thought today, brother.
Okay, well, Santa Claus is coming, folks. Not just Santa Claus, but it's Hanukkah, Kwanzaa's next week. The reason we celebrate such amazing, beautiful, bright holidays this time of year is because in our part of the world, it's getting dark and cold. But remember, in the dark and the cold, not just the season, but in the dark moments of your life, there is always a light. There's always a light sitting there and waiting for you. You can find the most beautiful moments in the darkest and the coldest days. So pay attention and look for it.
And if you have a clapper, you can turn it on with your hands. As I do, because I'm fucking 90. Okay, I don't want to get up off the bed if I don't have to. Next week, we will be off. The duo here in front of you right now will be off. Andy and Gerald
will
be
in. The dynamic duo?
Enjoying the holiday with our family. But we will have a bonus episode of some sort. The top five hidden December gems. That'll be up next week. And then, Andy, when we come back, I'm going to send you your ballot. You get all of your...
A year in review!
Categories filled in, and we will wrap up the year...
2017!
We will wrap up the year that was 2017. Andy,
yeah.
Have a Merry Christmas.
I will have a Merry
Christmas. I love you.
Merry Christmas.
You
happy
are a
Hanukkah,
gift.
Happy Kwanzaa. To me. Happy holidays.
You're a gift to me, brother.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Me? Thanks for all you do. Thanks for being here.
I like you, too.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. We will be back in the new year.
The new year!
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.